Coach Mo.
Hey, it's Coach Mo.
Hey, it's Coach Mo.
Knowing what you want to accomplish professionally is just the beginning. I'm Coach Mo, and this podcast is for young professionals and emerging leaders who want to lead, achieve, and succeed at work. You've got executive ambitions and the drive to get there. Join me for perspective, insights, and thought-provoking questions that only you can answer. Today's episode starts now.
Tuesdays with Coach Mo.
Psychotherapist Danielle Boucre has a unique perspective on what's required for the journey to advance your career in corporate America. After earning an MBA at Northwestern University, she worked in the healthcare industry first in brand management, then as a consultant for many years, only to have reached a point where she lost energy for her work. At 35 years of age, she made a deliberate effort to step back professionally and ask herself, "What am I doing? Why am I doing it?" As a result of her soul-searching journey, she discovered that within her was a tremendous skill of listening, particularly listening to others. She made the decision to shift her professional journey in what some may consider unconventional. She walked away from a career as a marketing and strategy expert to pursue a master's degree in social work. It's because of her experiences that I invited her here to the Tuesdays with Coach Mo podcast. Now, as a skilled therapist with a corporate professional background, she knows what's required for succeeding in the complexities of working in corporate America. Hello, everyone. It's Executive Coach Monique Betty, and welcome to my podcast, Tuesdays with Coach Mo. In the last podcast episode, we talked about handling emotions at work and put a spotlight on how organization structure can actually contribute to a low empathy environment. This week, we're taking the topic of emotions at work a step further because what I've come to discover is that there are some high-achieving professionals who are actually suffering in silence, and the depth of stress, anxiety, fatigue, or even hopelessness, to name a few, may in fact be interfering in their lives. Now, if this speaks to you or someone you know, therapy may be an option to reduce that effect. My guest, Danielle Boucre, now focuses her listening and problem-solving skills at a level to lead effective and lasting change in support of individuals, children, families, and couples that she serves. It's her work with adults, however, that Danielle helps to address workplace struggles, from their grief associated with job loss to the stress of complex workplace dynamics to setting healthy professional development goals, all for the purpose of helping individuals thrive in all areas of their life. Now, be certain to grab the show notes for today's episode at TuesdaysWithCoachMo.com. That's Tuesdays with an S on the end, with CoachMo.com. It's here where you'll find the full transcript, which includes a segment of Coach Mo Knows, where I will share links to resources in support of today's conversation. Now, as we pivot to my conversation with Danielle, you will hear her responding to my question of, what advice do you have for the young professional who finds themselves feeling out of control at work? Enjoy the conversation.
There are a lot of things that we can't control, right? And so it's a kind of acceptance of some of that. Things like horrible bosses or what people say, microaggressions, like you'll exhaust yourself trying to change other people, right? But we can control what we do and how we show up and your perspective. That's probably one of two things that we actually have control of. How you decide to see things or the story that you tell yourself. Really important in this day and age to set boundaries. So many of us, too many of us, are so used to having these porous boundaries. Yes, you know, I only work until 6, but there's this presentation I have to do, so I'm up until midnight doing it. if you have a boundary, you have to honor it. You have to respect it, right? That's the only way other people will listen to it, right? If you're porous, you're training other people to break your boundaries, right? So boundary setting is more important now, setting and maintaining, just as important now, more important now than it's ever been.
Yeah. And I love the way you use the term porous. I mean, that is so spot on, because individuals I know that I've worked with think they have boundaries in place, yet they're telling me stories that reflect something different. And so that's an opportunity as a coach to step in and say, let's take that scenario you just shared. How in that situation are you supporting the boundaries you've put in place and inviting them to think about it and discover for themselves that they're saying it, they're not doing it?
Yes.
And so what is the toll that individuals place on themselves when they stay in these situations for way too long without putting in place the boundaries? They aren't thinking about it in a way that's helpful. What's the consequence of doing that?
The consequence is definitely like you're stripping yourself of your own personal joy and job fulfillment, but joy, because it's internal, right? Mm-hmm. I hear many of my clients who in the workspace, they'll be like, so annoyed because my boss is constantly sending urgent emails on Saturdays. I'm like, but you saw the email, right? So which means you also were on the email. And what makes you think that on a Saturday that you have to respond? Because that is an off day. And they're like, but if I don't, then what will happen? and that's the exercise that they have to go through, right? Because probably nothing will happen in most industries. Mm-hmm. Nothing will happen if you wait till Sunday night or Monday morning to respond. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, when people send you emails on an off hour, they want to get it off their to-do list. Mm-hmm. And that has nothing to do with you, right? It's just when you're ready, here it is.
Yeah.
Right? 9 times out of 10, that's what it is.
Yeah.
So we're putting a lot of stress on ourselves, but when we do it over and over again, it becomes real. The anxiety becomes real.
And we're reinforcing it. You know, we're reinforcing it as opposed to acknowledging it. There's a pattern. And then how to prepare having a conversation with that colleague, that boss of expectations and advocating for yourself. And this is one thing that I have found to be kind of a common theme with young professionals, because they want to do well at work. And they think that, well, if I don't do this, it's going to be some reflection on me. I'm not as committed to my job. They make up these stories in their mind until you get to a point of having done it for year after year that you say, okay, this is just not working. I'm not my best self. And I've allowed this toxicity to kind of creep in at my porous boundaries.
Absolutely. I think especially young professionals think if I'm honest, then I'll be thought of differently, right? Mm-hmm. And it's actually the opposite. Transparency is really important. Telling somebody who's above you, especially, or even a peer, honestly, listen, when this happens, this is the way I'm feeling. Could you please do this? And asking for what you need is also really important. Because if you don't put words to it, you're asking other people to read your mind. And that's just not a human being thing. We don't do that.
There, people are just naturally not mind readers. Some may think they are, but just not natural. So let's imagine a young professional is feeling some sort of way, not their best self, not feeling joy, feeling a struggle, a slug to get through, showing up for work. Others are telling them that there's something off. What are some of the signs that, from your professional lens, you offer for individuals to look for in their self-discovery of, I've hit a point, maybe it's time to get some support?
Yeah. Definitely, if the way you're feeling is getting in the way of your functioning, it's definitely time to reach out for some help. So if you are avoiding meetings or people, if you are avoiding just even getting up to get in front of your computer, if you're making excuses to have your video off because you know you haven't gotten it together, right? Those are definitely signs that you're not able to function the way you normally would, and that you should get the help that you need. Mm-hmm. Talk to somebody. Professionals are there to help, but it's not a lifetime sentence. If you reach out to a professional, it doesn't mean that you're in for therapy for a lifetime, right? Sometimes it's very situational and you just go for a little bit of time and then you know, once you get the tools that you need,
there you go,
then you're off.
What characterizes an individual who's best served by you as a clinical therapist?
Well, 100%. They have to want to be there.
Right? No one can make you.
One of the first questions I ask at the end of an intake session is, tell me what brought you to therapy? And if 6 months down the line, we're done, how do you want to be different? Because you have to have some goals, just like in the workplace, right? In the therapeutic setting, you have to have goals. You have to have something that you want to achieve, because then that is also a source of motivation for you to use your tools. Many times I'll bring up meditation and I get either the eye roll or the when I absolutely know they're never going to do it, right? And I'll say, if you want to feel better, you should do this. It's no different than if you have an infection and doctor gives you an antibiotic, you take it. So I'm telling you that if you want to be more present and stop your anxious brain from going too far forward or kind of spiraling about past things, then you need to be in the present. And that's all about mindful meditation, right? So to be able to do that, and it's harder than it looks, it takes practice.
Yeah,
it does. These are things that I'll say, but you do have to want it. That is the person that is most successful in therapy. Also somebody who's willing to listen. Mm-hmm. So combination.
You know, and I'm reminded as I hear you describe that of my career in the pharmaceutical industry with Eli Lilly. And I remember in particular for depression, some bipolar diagnosis, that some in the medical community had just self-assessments that individuals could use before even going to see a doctor to say, hey, here's a 20, 25 question self-assessment of different markers and determine for yourself where you are. Because one thing when people just listen to others on social media or family and friends and people just say, oh, I'm depressed or I'm, you know, this, that, or the other, what we don't know is that person's lens and the depth. So what resources are available for someone to just kind of maybe get access or get their hands on something like that? Or is that even used in today's environment?
It is used. There are probably too many resources out there, but they're all similar. So there's sometimes, because the words depressed and anxious or have anxiety are very overused, right? So I just want to reiterate that in order to get a diagnosis, a lot of times it's over a span of time. So if you were to pull down like a scale for depression, I wouldn't do it one time and then say, oh my God, like that's who I am. That defines me. Now I am depressed. Okay. It could be a really bad day, right? So do it maybe once a week or 3, 4, 5 nice. Weeks. And if there's a trend, then maybe that's your proof, if you will, that, okay, I need help. Mm-hmm. If you're not absolutely, you know, sure.
How does someone determine or identify a professional that's a good fit? I mean, where do you even start to find qualified professionals in the work that you do?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's a very widely used resource called Psychology Today that literally at the top of the page, it has a search engine for clinicians. Okay. Nationwide. I always recommend that people start there because they have filters for insurance, no insurance, what your concerns are. So you can really identify clinicians that work with you or with what you're suffering from. That's a really good resource. You could always just do a general Google search. There is no one that you're going to find. Okay, 98% of the time, that was kind of absolute. Most of the time, you are not going to find your perfect therapist just with that search, right? So I would highly recommend, like, don't commit right away. Have like a 15, 20 minute conversation with a couple of clinicians to really determine fit, because there's so much of the work that's done in the mental health space that's totally dependent on the relationship between you and your therapist. Do you vibe? It's kind of like a date. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Do you vibe? Do you speak the same language? Do you respond to their tone? Some clinicians have a very like soft, easygoing tone, and that irritates some people. So you have to be able to feel comfortable in that space. Because I always say that space is the client's space. That should be your like optimal place where you could be completely transparent and vulnerable. Mm-hmm. But the person on the receiving end has to be somebody that you're able to be vulnerable with. Mm-hmm. So all the certifications are great. And I have them and they're great, mm-hmm. right? It just means that I'm educated. But that doesn't mean that I'm a good fit for you.
Thinking of someone going to a clinical therapist, what three questions should they have on their short list just to help people out in terms of good starter questions to ask in that conversation? Because some may really be going, okay, I don't even know what to ask them.
Right. That's a really good question. Questions that I've gotten that I think have gotten us to a good assessment are definitely like fees. How much is this and what insurance do you take? That's a super important question. You don't want this to be an additional stressor in your life. If it's going to break the bank, it's just not, you're going to be so focused on the cost of it. You're not going to really be able to be in with both feet. And whether or not your insurance covers it is really important to that fee. So that's the first thing. Right now in COVID, are you in person? Do you do in-person sessions or would you do in-person sessions? Mm-hmm. Right? Some people like me, I'm not working in my office in my, you know, my formal office 100% of the time. But if somebody wants to do a walking session outside, I'll do that. Okay. Right. But not everybody has that flexibility. So to ask that right now is, I think, is really important. And then asking about what the clinician enjoys or what population the clinician enjoys working with, I think is really important. It doesn't 100% of the time have to be exactly what you're dealing with. I think that'll be maybe a not so genuine answer. Mm-hmm. But it's important to know, like if I'm coming in for couples therapy, does my clinician love to work with couples or are they able to work with couples and more passionate about adolescents? Mm-hmm. It's important. And you might be able to get some of that from their profile and what they do. But asking the question, I think, it lends to a lot more transparency.
So terrific, great questions. The fee schedule, does insurance cover, or is it, what insurance is accepted? In person, virtual, possibly walking, and then what population do they, is it prefer working with or do that is kind of their
what population do they enjoy working with?
Okay, nice, terrific. And so what additional thoughts or information do you want to share with this young professional audience that we haven't had a chance to address yet, Danielle?
One of the things that I wanted to talk about was the difference between all of the certifications, all of the titles, all of the letters behind my name.
Terrific.
It's some letters, but at the end of the day, you know, I, and not everybody might agree, but I'm in the camp of if I'm looking for a therapist and one went to Harvard and one went to, I don't know, USC, right? I'm not automatically going to go to the Harvard one. Because it might not be, that person might not be a great fit for me, right? It's kind of the same thing with all of the different types of therapists. It just says where they went to school and what program they studied in. It doesn't really speak to their strengths. It doesn't speak to their capabilities, and it definitely doesn't speak to fit, right? So I wouldn't necessarily focus in on whether somebody's an LCSW or an LCPC or give everybody a chance and really identify the person for what they have to offer you. But the difference between a psychologist / social worker / therapist / person, like all of those things, those are the people that are all on the same level and give you generally the same service. Psychiatry is a whole different animal. And many people are afraid to go on medication for mental health diagnosis. And I understand, right? Some have side effects. There's a lot to play with. But what I like to tell people is if a therapist recommends that you see a psychiatrist for medication, it's probably because you're having difficulty or they're seeing that you're having difficulty doing the work, right? So medication, anti-anxiety medication or antidepressants, once my client gets on medication, 9 times out of 10, suddenly they're able to use their tools and they're able to practice the meditation and they're able because generally what I've done is I've pushed them away from the edge of the cliff with the medication, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't solve the problem,
right?
But it helps us to do the work to get there.
Nice.
Right. So I want to make sure that people don't see medication as like this dark, scary place.
Yeah.
Because it really does work in tandem with talk therapy.
Yeah. And I think as we're seeing with the pandemic and just getting the vaccination, there are just some very polarizing, strong feelings when it comes to administration of any type of, you know, medicine. And I definitely saw that in my time at Lilly with depression and Prozac. Some people just felt the stigma was too great. I don't want to take that. And I'm so glad, though, that so many high-profile individuals are stepping forward to share.
Yeah,
absolutely. To have their story told. So terrific. Well, Danielle, thank you so much for your time today. It has been such a pleasure having you. A wealth of information for our audience. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hey, that was psychotherapist Danielle Boucre, who provided insight on three key pieces of information. Number one, the indicators or clues that now may in fact be a good time to talk with a therapist. Two, what characterizes the individual best suited to benefit from a therapy engagement. And three, she shared tips on the process for selecting a therapist. If you have someone in your life, a friend, a family member, or possibly a colleague who may benefit by listening to this conversation, please do share this Tuesdays with Coach Mo episode. And now for Coach Mo Knows, a tip, a coaching question, and a bit of inspiration. My tip this week is that if you are feeling that the depth of emotions you're experiencing now are beginning to interfere with your life, I strongly encourage you to have a conversation with your physician. Also, consider taking a self-assessment. As Danielle suggested, take the assessment a few times over a period of a few weeks. PsychologyToday.com, their online platform, actually provides a variety of self-tests, and use the one best suited to support you in your situation. For my coaching question this week, if you're being challenged with deep emotions or feelings that are interfering with your life, what step will you take today that will move you closer to the support you want? And for inspiration, it comes from Sandeep Jahar, a practicing cardiologist and a contributor to the New York Times, who said, "The only mistake you can make is not asking for help." Thanks for being here. To first-time listeners, I say welcome. To regular listeners and subscribers, I say thank you. Please do be sure to leave a rating and a review on the iTunes platform, and be sure to share this episode with someone who you believe may be ready to hear today's conversation on Therapy Talk. Make it a great day, and thanks for listening. That's a wrap for this episode of Tuesdays with Coach Mo. Showing up here tells me you're willing to invest in yourself and your career. Get additional resources at TuesdaysWithCoachMo.com. Please subscribe and leave a review. I'd love to get your feedback. Till next time, this is Coach Mo, signing off.
Tuesdays with Coach Mo.